Blog Talk Radio.
In due time.
But I won't complain, no. I fall down on my knees, call out his name and say, I have no doubt, Lord, you're gonna bring me out, Lord. I have no doubt that my God will deliver me. I do just that, cause all of my needs, I shall receive, according to his riches and glory.
Hello. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to Kingdom Insight and Truth Blog Talk Radio program. I'm your host, Brother Derek Holder, and it's an honor to have you here today. Today we have a special guest, my dear brother, Minister Anthony Morris. Brother Anthony, are you there? Brother Anthony? Hello, my dear brother Anthony. How are you today?
I am well, sir. How about yourself?
Doing well. We had a little technical difficulties a few minutes ago, but we're up and running. So let's get in it. Let's get in this word. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, can you just open us up in prayer, please?
Amen. Amen. How do I sound?
You sound great, my brother.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we can sound clear. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, just for being God. So many times, God, we come in prayer and we have a list of things, God, that we want to bring to you. And even when we come to you, God, praising you, many times we come praising you for the many things you have done. And not to say that that's bad, God, but we know we must come understanding, God, that you do those things out of who you are. God, when we understand and praise you for who you are, God, we understand that you, when we praise you for who you are, because you are Jireh, you provide. So, God, we know
yes.
that you're going to provide. God, we know that you are Nisi, so we understand that we are going to have victory. So even in God, we thanking you for who you are. If we can grab hold of this reality, we would already be thanking you for what you do. So, God, on this morning, we ask you, God, that you will lay no charge against us. So, God, as we come to in prayer and as we come to study your word, that there be nothing between you and us, so God, that we might receive revelation, that we will receive understanding on today. God, we ask you that our minds even now will be as fertile soil, that you will break up the fallow ground, oh God, and that as the words of your as your word is being ministered to us, oh God, that the seeds of the kingdom might find fertile soil in which it will take root and grow and produce fruit. So God, even now, have your way in this time of study as we talk about your word and about your kingdom. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, today's topic is the kingdom, love, balance, simplicity, the milk of the word. You know, it's amazing how we forget that God's kingdom is full of love, but also it's full of justice. But we, and that means you too, must live in balance. And simplicity, receiving the milk of the word, which prepares you and me to receive the meat of the word as we become the living word, operating in God's likeness and image. And we just
Amen.
Thank God that we're able. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we thank God for that. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Can you hold 1 minute, my brother?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Oh, you go ahead. I'm putting myself on hold for a minute.
Amen. Good morning, everyone who has tuned in. We truly thank God for the opportunity to minister. I am a student teacher, which means that I'm always learning more about the kingdom of God, and I don't want to come to a place where I know. It's very important that we stay teachable concerning God's word and things of that nature, and just teachable in life. It helps us to get a better understanding, a more rounded perspective of life, especially as it concerns the kingdom of God. And as we talk on this morning, it's very important to make sure that we are being students of the word, which means that as we hear these different topics being brought out into light, let us be mindful that not to put up judgment so quickly, even though the Bible declares that we should judge all things, but may we be teachable, understanding that it may be something that we may need to research and may need to study before the Holy Spirit minister that thing to us. So as we talk about love, which is the first point our brother points out here this morning, excuse me, we want to make sure that we operate and that all things that we do stem from a place of love as it concerns to ministering the kingdom and preaching the word of God to people. Because the truth of the matter is God is love. And if we understand the nature of God and that he is love, we must, as his children, who share his DNA, and his DNA is love, we must operate from that place, or else we identify ourselves as something other than a son of God. So I believe that is a good place for us to start from, and understanding that God is love. And the Bible says that if we don't love our brother, then there's something wrong with the fact that we say that we love God. So it's very important that we operate from that place of love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what, my dear brother Anthony, you're so on point, because that was like one of the first commandments, you know, that we love God. You know, we love God with all our mind, body, soul, and spirit. And then the second one is we love our neighbors as ourselves.
Amen.
And, you know,
fulfilling the whole law.
Yeah. And it's so sad that we have came to a part in life, and I think you used the word kingdom elites, or what was the word you used?
Kingdom elitism.
Yes. Can you share a little bit of that? Because when we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, that came up, and we really need to understand what that means, and to really check ourselves that we're not operating in that spirit.
Amen. One of the biggest enemies of operating in God's love is pride. What happens is when you're talking about kingdom elitism, what happens is as people study the word of God and we begin to learn the word of God, we find ourselves in a place where we know something that most people don't. and although it is a truth, it is not something that's supposed to go to the head. It is actually something that should go to our heart and make us sorrowful that our brothers and sisters who are born again don't quite understand who they are. So it shouldn't go to our head where we feel as though that we are elite or better than the rest, but it should bring us to a place of humility, understanding that we have a very important assignment to bring those who don't know who they are into a place of knowing, so that they too might be built up as according to the word and thoroughly furnished in their nourished in their understanding of God and who they are. So yes, when you're talking about kingdom elitism, we're talking about those who've studied the word and they know the word, and now they become so full of the knowledge that it's more important to share the knowledge because that's my love. But that's not actually the manifestation of the love. That's just the fact that you're sharing the information or the wisdom or revelation that God has given unto you. And it is important to, even as we're doing that, we do that in love. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it opens up with talking about love. And we normally say that, well, this is the love chapter. But actually, it is sandwiched in between chapter 12 and chapter 14, where it's actually talking about the gifts, and the gifts are used for ministry. So if we're using these gifts properly, they're filtered through love. In other words, we're not just saying the truth and saying, well, this is my expression of love. I want you to know, and I'm telling you because I love you, but I'm being wise in how I present it so that the love that I have is conveyed through the message. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes. That is so good. You know, I just thank God for that, you know, because God is love. And if God is love, He shows love. He does. I mean, it's about love. It's about His compassionate. In fact, it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when He spoke of the world, it was those that was in the world, the people. Mm-hmm. And then when I think about the kingdom, I think about the kingdom is the heartbeat of God connected to the heart and love. And the heartbeat of the kingdom is souls of people. So it's a love. It's love. And then every gift should flow from what? Love from God. Not just from us. You know, we get it twisted. We get caught up in pride and ego and thinking we this and that and a bag of chips. And God is saying, you son, you daughter, you citizen, you know. And then we get caught up in titles and positions instead of functioning as a person who truly is an ambassador, who truly loves God. And one of my other dear brothers, he always shared with me, he said, you love God, and if you love God, you love His word. And if you love Amen. His word, you obey His word. Go ahead, my
Amen.
Brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, I'm just in agreement, sir, because the Bible says, if you love me, the best expression of love is obedience.
Yeah.
The best expression of love is submission. It's not usurping your authority. It's actually being humble enough. That's why the Bible says that we submit one to another, because that's an expression of love. When we're talking about being brothers and sisters in the Lord and things of that nature, that means we're willing to listen to each other. We're willing to submit to another brother's teaching. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I do often, because we are an outreach ministry, is that I sit underneath my brothers and sisters. I have a home base, and I can have service at my house every Sunday or throughout the week. But I, on purpose, make sure that I go to my fellow brothers and sisters who's teaching the gospel of the kingdom, to sit under them to hear what this being spoken in the spirit realm. That's a humbling thing. And even as it comes to dealing with those who do not understand the revelation of the kingdom, this is how you deal with your spiritual elitism. Your kingdom elitism. You sit under the message of those who may not be teaching kingdom, so that you can learn what they're teaching and where the message is flawed at, so that you can go in and loving them and love them into relationship with God. Not go in and tear down their error or point out their error at every little step of the way. But what you do is you go in and you love on them and you bring them to a place of maturity, because a lot of times error is spoken out of immaturity. It's not spoken out of a direct intention to distort the word of God. Sometimes it's taught out of I have not matured yet.
Wow. You know, you're so right on point with that. And I know it's the spirit of the Lord, because a couple of weeks ago, I put a Facebook post that I apologized how the way I was presenting the gospel. And many people were saying and responding back, oh, bro, you okay? Just keep on preaching the gospel. But when you know that you know that you know, and God convicts you, not condemns you, but the Holy Spirit convicts you about the love, it causes you to repent. It causes you to humble yourself. It causes you to love like God is love. And if we really remember, even if we have to go back to Genesis 1:26, he said, let us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, make mankind in what? Likeness and image, spiritual. So we got to go back and we have to love. You know, when I think of love, I say we love the heaven in them, and then the other stuff got to go. Go ahead, my brother.
Amen, sir. Now, as we were talking about that, I was reminded of the fact that the Bible says knowledge is puffed up. But love, what? Builds up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. When you look at the fivefold ministry, every one of these gifts are used to build the body.
Yes,
but
yes.
But also all of these gifts operate from a place, or should operate from a place of knowledge. So here you have what you might seem to be like a dichotomy or like a paradox, because you have the scripture saying that knowledge is puffed up, but love builds up. What you have is that you have to put knowledge into subjection to the love.
right.
So when you do that, you put it in its proper perspective, so that when you use the knowledge and wisdom and revelation, you're using it from a place of love to build up. So that
amen,
it's not puffed.
Amen.
And that's where you that's how you deal with the kingdom elite. See, listen, pride is in all of us. And you can trick yourself into believing that you ain't fighting with some type of pride, especially when you know something somebody else don't know. You have to intentionally humble yourself to deal with the spirit of pride. As a matter of fact, that when it talks about Leviathan in Job, it talks about that being the spirit of pride, and that it is such a strong demon. It's described as a dragon with almost iron plates all over its body, and that it's so hard to destroy that only the sword of the Lord, somebody say the word of the Lord, is able to destroy it. In other words, the same sword that's sharper than any two-edged spear, it reveals what's inside of you. And you must deal with the thing that's inside of you to destroy the pride that's inside of you. Oh, Holy Spirit is teaching.
Wow, it's so true. It's so true. You know, I think about sometimes, you know, when we receive the kingdom, the knowledge of the kingdom, it's like it was there all the time, and God revealed it to us because many of us had a hunger and thirst after righteousness. And some of us were never involved in the religious teaching or the religious way. So when the kingdom came, this is like, wow, you know. But one thing about the kingdom and studying the kingdom that I really love is when you truly start to receive the kingdom, God's spirit in you, it settles you, it humbles
Amen.
You. And it causes you to have, like you were saying earlier, you're sorry for your brother and your sister that don't know the truth, that are living a lie. But we
Amen.
Don't go just beat, we don't go and beat them aside the head. We don't go tear down everything that they believe and were taught. No, we come in again with love. Well, my dear sister, Minister Adele, she's been saying that for years. She was like, don't worry about what they're doing. She'd be like, brother, pastor, she was like, just preach the truth. Just preach the truth. Don't worry about them. You ain't got to talk about them and her and him and all of them. Just preach the truth.
Amen.
And I tell you, when she was sharing that, I still couldn't grasp hold of it. And then God even used you and the word to bring it to my revelation, bring revelation to me about sharing the gospel with love.
Amen.
Sharing the kingdom
Amen.
with love. Mm. And then can we go into balance a little bit, my brother? Because, you know, balance is really important, and justice too. You know, because God is of love, but God is the God of justice and balance. Amen. Go ahead, my brother.
Amen. It's funny because I was just looking at that, and I was about to say let's look at that. So the Holy Spirit is definitely guiding us, and we thank Him for His guidance. What I was about to actually get into a little bit was about the fact that in the morning times we have Bible study with the children, and one of the things I was teaching the children the other day was about perverted dominion. And that's when dominion is out of balance. I was talking to them in reference to the fact that, you know, I noticed that nobody likes to be told what to do.
And I
was telling my children, I said, do you know why that is? I said, that's the dominion inside of you resisting. That's the king in you that says that I'm a king. And I told them that's understandable, but you have to understand that any dominion that's not submitted is perverted dominion. That's
wow.
Balance.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. When Adam was no longer submitted to God, he lost his dominion.
He did.
So any dominion that's not submitted is perverted. It becomes a perverted thing. So as I was teaching my children, I was telling them, I said, you know, anytime that you have authority and you have dominion, you're going to have to understand the responsibility to put that thing in balance and to be able to submit to those who are in authority over you. Watch this. By submitting to the authority, you're submitting your dominion to the authority, what it does is it empowers you to be able to flow free. Let me give you an example. A train, I don't care how super engine you put, what kind of super engine you put inside of a train, if it is not on rails, it's not going anywhere. Do you hear what I'm saying? It can be the most powerful, fastest train ever, but without rails, it cannot go. It has to be lined up with the authority of the track, for lack of better terms. So as we're talking about kingdom, and we're talking about love, and we're talking about balance, there's an order, and there's tracks that we have to remain free on. They don't restrict us as to the point where it doesn't allow us to live out who we are, but they give us a place of direction so that we know how to flow. So when we're talking about love, for instance, well, we do understand that we have to correct sometimes, and we have to bring balance to the error that is being presented. To do that in love is not always to attack, but sometimes it's actually to listen. And then in listening, I can actually hear where this person may have a misconception, may have a misunderstanding, or may be immature. And I don't even have to, a lot of times, just attack it in that particular instance. I will be wise enough to listen for the opening door where that topic can be addressed from my perspective, or from the perspective of the kingdom and my revelation of the kingdom that God has given to me, to be able to deal with that error. And that will bring balance to how we present the gospel in love.
You know what, my brother? You know what you just said was wisdom. Wise dominion.
Yes, sir.
Wise dominion. That's wisdom. And then when you're talking about the train, it's not so much the rails, because now they got trains now that don't operate on rails. They operate in a path.
That's good.
So God is calling us to operate in the path of what? Righteousness.
Amen.
So there's a way that seems what right to some?
Right or righteous?
But it's not, righteous, but it's not right, because it's not connected to the truth of God's word. So because God loves us so much, He even gives us imagination. But when we take that imagination and imagine something that's not connected to God and His word and His spirit, then we are in error.
Yeah. Wow. And here's the other piece of the balance. The other piece to the balance is understanding that as we are going, we're not going, watch this, we're not fighting against the people.
Right.
We want to tear down the preacher. We want to tear down the denomination. We want to tear down the group. But it's the spirit that's behind it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we'll go a lot of times attacking the person when it's
Jesus.
Did you even pray?
Right.
Because right. this thing has to be accomplished in the spirit realm. So you're going to go present, and it's like going to go sow seeds and you haven't even plowed the ground. So sometimes it's necessary to break up the ground first in prayer and study and just being in the presence of God, knowing how to deal with this particular plant, because I haven't seen this type of plant before. And now that this plant is different than the plants that I've been dealing with, I need the wisdom of the Creator to help me deal with this plant.
Wow. You know what, my brother? You just shared... Preparation.
Yes, sir.
So we need to be prepared, and we need to. Wow. Mm. Preparation. We need to be prepared. So praying is preparing us.
Yes, sir. Mm. This kind goeth not out but by fasting and praying.
Mm.
He said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Again, we're talking about balance. You might have a very strong gifting in teaching. You may have a strong gifting in revelation. You may have a strong gifting in presenting the word and being a wordsman or a wordsmith or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. If you do all of that in your own strength, that's might and power. But he said it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Well, what is his spirit? The fruits of the spirit is love.
Amen.
Joy.
Going back to love.
Long suffering, temperance. These we ain't even being temperate with those who don't know the word of God or don't understand the revelation. We're not being patient with them. We're not operating from the spirit. We're not being meek with them. We're going in and saying, you're wrong.
Wow.
No balance.
That reminds me of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. That's that kind of spirit.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And watch this. The love of God and the justice of God works together in this. Whenever God gives an instruction, let's say discipline. I like the term discipline because it helps us to understand God's love. Because he disciplines
right.
those who he what? Love.
Love.
But that doesn't mean he beats them, even though it says he beats them several times. Here's the thing. When God gave Adam instruction in the garden, he was disciplining him. In
right.
other words, discipline first looks like instruction. Because it's coming from a place of love. So because I love you, Adam, because I love you, humanity, I'm telling you this warning. That if you eat of the fruit from this tree, you are going to destroy our relationship.
Mm.
So don't eat from the fruit of that tree because I love you and I love being in relationship with you. But I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. If you do eat of that tree, there is going to be consequences.
Right.
So a lot of times we'll talk about the wrath of God and the anger of God. When the wrath of God and the anger of God is a part of the balance of his love, which in other words, it means that because you did not obey, these are the natural consequences for not operating in love. Why? Because if you love me, you will obey. So because you did not operate in love when I extended to you my love and gave you instruction in love, you are now going to reap the consequences of operating outside of love.
Wow. Due justice. That's due justice.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. So if you're doing justice, you don't have, watch this. Perfect. Here you go. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
Well, the Bible says that God has he's not given us a spirit of fear. We give him balance. This is no contradictions. These are balances. Watch this. He also said that he, in Romans, he talks about that he has freed us from the bondage of, again, to fear.
Right.
He freed us from the bondage again to fear. Watch this. Fear is a response to living outside of God's love. When Adam disobeyed God outside of God's love, when he heard God in the garden, he became fearful. He hid himself and was afraid.
Right.
So because he was not operating in God's love and disobedience, fear took over where love was once stationary. Obedience. So then we hear perfect love casts out fear. Here's the balance. If I'm operating in love, there's no need for me to fear. So I don't have to work out my salvation in fear and trembling. This is how I work it out in fear and trembling, in love. Because if I'm loving God, I'm obeying God, and there's no need for me to be in fear.
Mm-mm-mm. You know what, my brother? When you said about the forgotten and disobedient, it reminds me of the kingdom, which is spiritual.
Yes, sir.
With Adam and Eve, they were walking in the supernatural, spiritual.
Yes, sir.
So they didn't see the natural because they were in the spirit.
Amen.
But when they came under the spirit of God, which is spiritual, they started seeing in the natural.
So amen.
They realized not only did they hide and they were fearful, they said they were fearful and they hid because they were naked.
Amen. Amen.
So they was unclothed. They wasn't spiritually covered anymore.
Amen. The death that actually took place was the spiritual death.
Right.
That is why we have to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. What happened is we died spiritually. We still had the flesh going on. That's why he says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It is important for us to do what? Be born again. Why? Because when man ate the fruit, he experienced the death that God was telling him about when he said, don't eat the fruit. So what happens is, in that instance, temptation took place. We had the DNA of God, but the DNA became mutated in the event of eating the fruit. A mutation is any change in the DNA structure based upon an event, or an event that causes a change in the DNA structure. What was the change in the DNA structure? The Spirit of God left. They were dead.
So the
DNA of humanity had become altered in the sense that God said, in the day you eat of the fruit, you shall die. So he extracted the Holy Spirit out of humanity in that instance. So there was a mutation that took place, watch this, in the mind. Because the mind tells the eyes what the eyes saw. In other words, the images go in through the eyes, but it is the mind that interprets the images. So when their mind was mutated, things looked different. Because
he
says God breathed into man and he became a living consciousness, which means what? A living soul, which is a living consciousness, which is a living mind. So the mind of man, that's why he says repent. Return back to the state of mind that I put you in when I put you in the garden. Because that's what needs to take place in the new birth. As a matter of fact, when it says that we are born of an incorruptible seed, born again by the incorruptible seed, that term born again actually means to have a new mind.
Amen. Amen.
So it says to be born again by the incorruptible seed. That's talking about the mind. It's talking about repentance. That's why that's Jesus' first message. Because in eating the fruit from the tree, we became mutated in our mind. And everything that flows from the mind is sinful now. It's like we opened up Pandora's box in the spiritual realm. And every type of evil came flowing out.
Hmm.
Now, here's Here's another term that we can understand. Mind also means government. Because in the government, when you're talking about government, you're talking about the mind of the one who's ruling. So we're following the mind of the one who's ruling us or who's over us. So when Adam and Eve got the mind of God, he told them a specific mindset to follow. When they ate the fruit, they had begin to follow another government, another mind. They heard another voice that was not God's. So they placed themselves under a government that was not God's. And therefore, every person born under them, under Adam and Eve, were born under the government of Satan, the god of this world.
Right.
So the balance, getting back to the balance and the justice, is that we live in love, first of all, but understanding that love that it needs to be balanced to that love, which is the justice of God. And it is not our responsibility to act as God to produce justice. In other words, we'll read the scripture and we'll talk about how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth and so on. But listen, if I tell you to watch my children and you beat my children and I didn't give you permission to beat my children because you knew it was because you so-called knew it was the right thing to do, I'm gonna have a problem with that.
Right.
And
right.
Here's the thing. Jesus was operating on God's authority to do what he do. And even though Jesus is our model, we can't beat God's children the way Jesus did. there's no balance in that. We're operating as if we're God. But we're not God. We are to be in commission with God, the great commission, restoring humanity back to God.
Amen.
See, we don't have to spend a lot of time condemning them because the Bible says if they don't believe, they condemned already. So if we understand that, we can understand that our main focus should not be on telling everybody what they're doing wrong, but telling them how to get right.
Amen, my brother. Amen. Wow. And you know, and we lose focus on that because we get caught up in pride. And we try to tell everybody what to do instead of being the example of what to do and what not to do. Yes, we become the word, not the word that's not. We become the word, which is the word from God, which is justice, which is love, which gives instruction, which causes correction. Wow.
Yes, brother. So when we definitely have to remember to bring balance. And one of the things that brings balance to the message of the kingdom, when we're talking about bringing balance and things of that nature, is all about the fact that a lot of times when we're preaching the message of the kingdom and we have a lot of understanding, we fail to understand the necessity to teach why. Well,
there it is.
I'm born again. And I'm born again and going to heaven? Well, yeah, you sure enough are. So why do I need the message of the kingdom? Well, it's very important that you get the message of the kingdom because you don't have an identity outside of the kingdom. You need to understand who you are because without understanding who you are, you won't function properly. Listen, when something is being misused, it is abusive.
Perverted.
So, yeah, it's perverted. So if you are operating in religion and you are actually a citizen, you're perverted in who you are because you're operating from a place that's just wrong. And it's not my focus to tell you that you're living wrong. It's my focus to tell you how to get right, how to live out the identity that God called you into. So when you teach the why of the message of the kingdom, why is it important for us to know that Jesus came preaching this message of the kingdom? Well, it's important because it helps us to function in the gifts that God has given us so that the kingdom, the manifestation of God's kingdom, will be manifest on earth as it is in heaven, which is what he told the disciples to pray.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, when Jesus came, it says that he came with the government on his shoulders. And I was just actually studying this, looking at some notes the other just a while ago, and it says Jesus came to establish or restore the kingdom.
Yes.
That's why he had the government on his shoulders. So in understanding who we are, we also put even the idea of the reason why Jesus came back in right perspective. Because the whole of the Bible is about a king, his kingdom, and his royal family. I like to call it the Kingdom Chronicles.
Glory. Amen.
It's the story of how God established or extended his kingdom to the physical realm. He created a colony called Earth. Then he established a ruler over the earth called humanity. Adam means humanity. So he created a ruler of the domain, making it a kingdom by putting a king over the domain.
Yes.
And then it accounts, the Kingdom Chronicles account gives us a record of how the kingdom became lost, how mankind abdicated the throne and an illegal ruler set up rule in a kingdom that's not his. Then it talks about, as we're going through the scripture, it teaches us how God was trying to restore humanity back, and he used various methods to show man that the only way to be restored back is through one way. So he sends that one with the government on his shoulders to restore us back into right relationship with God. Now, here's the thing. Relationship, here we go back to love, and we're talking about love, kingdom, and balance. The right relationship with God is not religion.
No.
The right relationship with God is sonship. That's why we have to be born again. And
that sonship
translates as kingship, which means we're restored back into dominion that we lost. So this is the chronicles of the kingdom. So it brings that out, and it brings out how we are restored back into proper relationship, which is kingdom relationship with God as citizens of his kingdom. And then it shows us, as we get towards the end in Revelation, it shows us that God is going to establish an everlasting kingdom on earth visibly, because the spiritual kingdom is here. So that's why I call it the Kingdom Chronicles, because it accounts all of this, and it shows us the kingdom and at many stages, and it's recording this the process of how God is establishing an everlasting kingdom, invisible and visible, in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm, where God has established a colony, and it says that even before the foundations of the earth, he had already sent Jesus to restore us. He already said that I'm predestined that we be conformed to the image of his son, which means all of this was accounted for. But he knew that he was going to send his son to restore us even before we gave up the kingdom.
So that's the order.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And we have to understand that that's how simple it is. I'm looking at the screen and it says the simplicity.
It
really is that simple. And guess what? Things that are simple doesn't mean things are easy.
Right.
See, it's real simple for me to tell my children, clean up the house. It's on the blackboard. But it's easier for them to be distracted with other stuff. so we have to understand that we have to make plain the simplicity, but we also have to, like you said, live out the example so that they have something to follow. So what do? When the kids don't do what they're supposed to do, I have to clean up and show them how to do it. Come on in here, y'all. Let me show you how to clean this tub right. Let me show you how to sweep the floor. And sometimes I don't even say it. I just do it so that they can see me doing the same thing that I'm asking or requiring of them. Somebody say simplicity.
Simplicity. And you know what? That's being a true ambassador.
Amen.
And that's what God called us to be, ambassadors. And Jesus became the pattern example for us to follow. You said that earlier. And I'm seeing now how we become ambassadors.
Amen.
And we represent God and his kingdom here on earth. Hallelujah.
That's the assignment, my brother. We're talking about, the milk of the word, it really is that simplicity, that simple understanding that as we are born again, we're going back to the why, as we're born again, it is necessary for us to understand that this is the milk, understanding your new birth, understanding that you are not born into a religion, but you're born into a kingdom that has a culture. So you're not living out of religion, you're living out of culture. And I was listening to an old message from Miles Monroe, and he said the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is distinctively different in the fact that the kingdom of God is the influence of God. The kingdom of heaven is the place, heaven. So that's why he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's talking about the kingdom of God, the influence of God in our lives. And God is love.
Yes.
So the influence of God in us should be a love that is making plain and making simple the deeper things of God. So that you too won't be, so that I'm not keeping you out of the kingdom, that I'm causing you to the desire to come in and press into the understanding that I've already arrived at, that I'm making available to you. And because you see I'm doing it in love, it makes you more hungry for it.
It should. Amen. 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 I agree. I agree 100%. Amen.
So we're talking about
the love at?
Yeah.
Where's the love?
That's the why that we need to make sure that people don't know. Why do I need this message of the kingdom? Well, here's another one. The Bible says this, that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, everybody will be talking about, I want to live out the will of God, or I want to know the will of God for my life. Well, the word pleasure is also translated as will. So if you want to understand what part of the will of God is for you, is that he said, I want to give you the kingdom. And watch this. The word will is also something that I leave as an inheritance. In my will, I leave you something. So God says, I will you the kingdom. It's my good pleasure to will you the kingdom. So it's important that you learn how to live as a citizen of the kingdom that I'm willing to you. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself says it. He says this. He says, the same kingdom that the Father conferred unto me, I confer unto you. I'm bequeathing you the kingdom of God.
Glory. I receive it now. Amen.
Jesus says, I'm bequeathing you this kingdom that the Father gave me. But it's further understood as well as we look at the culmination of the kingdom. What am I talking about? When we look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, where he says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations as a witness, and then the end shall come. Well, it is important for us to understand the message of the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom, the doctrine of the kingdom, because it is only when the doctrine of the kingdom has been taught to all nations for a witness, then the end shall come, or then when the word apocalypse means the end of one thing and then the beginning of the next. So he says, then the end will come, the end of this age. Somebody say time, the end of this time, the end of this world. World is also age. World is also time frame. So he says, the end of this world. He said, I'm going to bring this world order, the God of this world, to an end, and then I'm going to begin the next succession or the next chapter in the kingdom of God, where the king will come and establish his throne on earth physically. That's why he took his body with him, by the way. so that he can bring it back and set up the kingdom on earth physically, as well as spiritually. And he says that so that we can understand the place and where we are. So this kingdom has to be preached to all the nations, and not just by what we say, but is our life saying what our mouth saying? Oh, come on. That's balance. That's balance. Is our life saying what our mouth saying? We're saying one thing, but we ain't even got love. And the Bible says there's something wrong with that.
Right.
If you're not living in love with your brother, how can you say you love God? So here's the thing. The sky, I like to call the sky the double doors of heaven sometimes. Because when you know when you have a keychain or a remote entry on your car?
Yes.
You push the button on your keyless remote. But how many cars do it open?
Just one.
Just one. Why? Because there is an algorithm or a frequency that opens that particular door. The kingdom is the frequency that will open the sky. He says, when this message of the kingdom is preached throughout all the earth, when the frequency has permeated the earth, he says, then I'll open the sky. He says, then I'll open the door. So if you preach the message that Jesus came teaching us, and we live it, we begin to embody it. We appropriate it, we cultivate it, we assimilate it, we demonstrate it. And when we do that, he says, then I'll open the sky. I see we got 6 minutes, so I want you to lead us into the next portion.
Well, my dear brother, let's just keep on going until it says we can't go no more.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
But this is really good, you know, especially when you talk about the milk of the word, which prepares us to receive the meat of the word, you know, as we become the living word, operating in the likeness and image of God. You know, I heard this, and it's really blessed me. I heard someone say they rather see a message than hear a message.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I remember many years ago, people used to say, talk is cheap. So if we love, love is action. If we love our brother, we supposed to be sharing with our brother that which is truth.
Mm-hmm.
But also living a lifestyle that glorifies God. In fact, we're supposed to be walking in the spirit of excellence. And people will see our good work and glorify who? God that's in heaven.
Yes.
So it's a way that we behave. It's a part of the culture of the kingdom to operate in the spirit of excellence, to say what's true, to say what's a lie, to love. And, you know, like me and you, what we have in common is we've been called to help people.
Amen.
And the way God did it is he didn't give us a building, but he gave us his heart.
Huh,
so now we have a compassionate heart from the Father, and some people may call it a pastor's heart, you know. So now we go to look after who? People.
Amen.
So we love them with the same love that God loves us. And we care for them. And we give them that which God has gave us, that they could be equipped to go forth and do great exploit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So we don't lord over the people. We guide the people.
Ah,
we don't manipulate the people. We don't control the people. We don't try to get nothing from the people. We try to bring out the best of them, the best God that's in them out.
Amen.
And we pray and seek God's will for our lives and for our families. Like now, yourself and myself and as many of us, we're in a time where God has us ministering to our family.
Yes.
And you can get so caught up in the word where you can become so heavenly minded and no earthly good.
Help us, Lord.
But that's when the balance comes in. And that's why it's important for us to have balance.
Yes, sir.
So it's okay to spend time with your family and your wife. In fact, if you don't take care of your household, it says you're worse than an infidel. The worst in the center.
So not
only that we love those that's outside of our house, we love those that's in our house. And we continue on. loving, in spite of. You know, I'm just so thankful to today what God is doing. And my brother, we can continue on probably another 15 minutes or so.
Amen.
But I am encouraged.
Listen, I was reading this while you were talking because I wanted to get into the milk a little bit deeper. And I wanted to refresh myself. I wanted to refresh myself in the text. And as I read it, it kind of took me back as I'm listening to our conversation. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all gall and hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking." Now, here it is. This is Peter. He's writing. He's saying to the church, in order for us to share the milk of the word, we have to put aside all malice. We're talking about operating in love. We're talking about presenting the kingdom in love. He says, put away malice and gall and hypocrisy. Make sure we live in what we're speaking. Make sure we live in what we're speaking in envies. That means those people who have a good word inside of them, we're not going to try to tear them down so that we can look like the voice or the authority on the topic. But I'm going to support you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that you got a good kingdom word inside of you. Listen to my brother. Listen to brother Derek Holton. Go to his Facebook page. That brother is dropping them kingdom jewels. And if you come to my page, you'll see that I'm sharing them same kingdom jewels on my page from his page because there's no envies. There's no, and put away all evil speaking. Then it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow therefore. Watch this. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, the other scripture before that talks about the fact that you should be what? Teachers by now.
Glory. Amen. Amen.
Right? You should be teachers. But it's apparent to me that you still need to go back to the basics. Hold on. Let's read it again. What are the basics? Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all gall and hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking.
Right.
you should be a teacher. But
right,
let me tell
right.
you what's hindering you from being as good a teacher that you can be. This fact that you got full, you're full of malice, you're full of gall and envies. And things of that nature, which is putting up a boundary between you and those who you are trying to teach. We must give our brothers and sisters the simplicity of the message that when you are born again, you are born again into the kingdom. This is milk.
It is.
But guess what? This is so deep and so real that it's the same milk that actually becomes meat. Because as I begin to grow in my understanding of the fact that I am born again into the kingdom, it goes into the fact that I know that I have to now live out this culture that is a kingdom
right.
culture that is not like the culture of this world. So as I begin to grow in my understanding of what it means to be a kingdom citizen, watch this. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, faith is a legal term, too, because it also helps us to understand that it means, loyalty. And what I taught my children, that it also means is patriotism. In other words, I am faithfully, loyally committed to my country, faith. Faith means faithful. So it's kingdom patriotism. I am faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As I continue to drink the milk and grow into the milk becomes meat, I am becoming more faithfully committed to my king and my country. I am a kingdom patriot. I give the kingdom of God my allegiance. In those old movies where those old times where there was the feudal law, it says, I give you my fealty.
you know,
I like old movies. That's why I said that.
Well, you know what, my brother? You're really on point because we need to have an alliance or a commitment. And God wants us to totally surrender all to him. totally surrender all, not just part, all,
Amen.
Not just on Sunday, all, not just on Saturday, all.
Come
know?
On.
And God is a jealous God, you know, and we need to be very careful what we submit to and who we submit to and what we submit to. And many of us are submitted to everything except God and everyone except God and his word.
Help
because
us,
if you truly submit, then you allow the word to guide you and lead you. You allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you into all truth. You allow the things that Jesus spoke, which were the thoughts of God, to lead you and guide you. It becomes your path to righteousness. You know, God gave us the gift of righteousness.
Yes,
he
sir.
He gave us that gift. You know, just like it was his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, he gave us the gift of righteousness. So we can live righteous. And yes, we are still under the law. Don't get it twisted.
Come on.
For those who are born again, the word of God said you're no longer under the law of sin and death, but you're under the law of righteousness, of faith, of God, of Jesus. You're under his commandments, his word. So you don't get out. You don't get out alive without obeying the law.
Amen.
You don't pass go. You have to be what God has called you to be. You have to, in order to enter into the eternal kingdom. And the fruits of the Spirit will operate in you like never before if you totally surrender and submit to God. This is very important. Totally.
Amen.
My brother, you can go ahead and piggyback on that.
Amen. It is so important that we submit. And when we're talking about righteousness, even that is a legal term. It's to be in right. It's to be in right standing with the government.
The kingdom.
So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Watch this. Now, see, a lot of times people are seeking the kingdom right now, but they're seeking the knowledge.
Right,
they're seeking to
right.
know.
Intellectual.
But he says, and righteousness, and his righteousness. Now, watch this. Now, the righteousness is to be submitted to that government.
Yes.
So not only do I want to know about the kingdom, I want to know how to be submitted to that kingdom, because I want to be in right standing with the kingdom.
Yes, right standard.
So I also heard it said a little bit different, that it's not just about being in right standing with the kingdom, but it's about understanding the kingdom rightly.
That's good.
And when we understand the kingdom rightly or correctly or appropriately, we can function from it appropriately. And that's another thing that we were talking about when we're talking about balance, that we were like I said, when you got off for a little while and I was introducing myself, I said that I am a student teacher. I'm always humble enough to know that I need to be taught. And I encourage the people, the listeners, to make sure that we all stay in a place of teaching and learning. Because here's the cycle that the Lord showed me, and I told my mom, because she said that I was such an excellent teacher of the kingdom, and that she was always humbled by me when I taught. And I said, you know what? But guess what? You was my pastor first.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I said, you taught me. I said, here's how it works. The teacher becomes the student. The student becomes the teacher. The teacher becomes the student. The student becomes the teacher. In other words, I don't stop learning from you, and you don't stop learning from me. And it just keeps us going round and round. And we grow together. That as you become, as you, the Lord released revelation to you, you teach me. I'm your student right now. And then when the Lord released revelation to me, I become the teacher. You're my student right now, but I don't get swole. I humbly teach that message, knowing that I'm still growing in the Lord, because that's how milk works, and that's how milk become meat, because we're still staying in balance and operating in love towards one another, so that we continuously grow in the knowledge of God.
Amen. Amen. It's so true, my brother. You know, and because we're connected in the spirit, in the same spirit, the spirit pulls from each other. So when I get in contact with you and we're speaking, it's pulling. It's pulling. You know, it's like that which God has deposited in you is now coming forth, and that which God has deposited in me is coming forth, and we're both receiving and we're giving. You know, a real relationship is a give and take, or a give and receive. It just keep on pouring. God poured in, we poured out, and He poured in, we poured out, and He poured in, and He poured out. It's like being born again, again and again. It's like being refilled over and over.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to say this before our time is up. As we were talking about balance, and I just hear the Holy Spirit saying that it's important for me to say this. It might be towards the end. Somebody might miss this. Might not get to the end. But I pray even now, God, that you will cause them to listen in to the end, so that they can hear this. Because this is what I want to say. As we're talking about balance, I do understand that there are some people who may be struggling, or may not have come to the place where they might agree with the things that I've said as concerning about love and operating in love. And I understand that the place that God may have you at in this season is a place of correction, is a place of dealing with error and things of that nature. I respect your balance. get what I'm saying? Just don't cut down the believers and the teachers of the gospel that's preaching the love that you may not be teaching, because it brings balance. While one might be correcting and tearing down religion and tearing down wrong doctrine, as the other one comes alongside and teach love and how God wants to love on the people and how God wants to draw them in by His love, which is what the scripture says. But let the balance exist. If you haven't gotten to that place, don't tear down those who are preaching love, because we wanted people to really understand the wrath of God. But let us understand that the balance is even in that. That I understand that you might have to correct and bring correction, and you want to address issues. That's fine. Just don't tear down the person who's understanding that love is important too.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
So I pray that this whoever's listening is listening to the end to hear the rest of it, because I'm not just promoting that love. God is love, 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 love. He is love. There's justice. God does deal with sin. He does deal with injustice. He deals with us when we're not walking in the ways of God. But He deals with it not in a place of anger or wrath like we understand it, because those are anthropomorphic expressions. In other words, they are expressions that will help us best understand kingdom things or spiritual things. But the truth of the matter is they are the natural consequences of our disobedience to the God that is in love. So when we operate outside of love, the natural result is some type of mishap or something that's going on in our lives. And here's the thing. Many people suffer many unpleasant things, and they're not even in disobedience.
Right. Right. No, it's true. You know, God said the word said he reigns on the just and the unjust.
Yes, sir. And he says that in this life you shall have
tribulations.
Yeah, he didn't say maybe. He said you shall have.
Wow.
He said foxes have holes and birds have nests. But here I am, the king of the earth, the king of the kingdom of heaven and earth, and I don't even have a place to sleep.
Right.
Paul was one of the greatest New Testament ministers of his time, and he began, as he preached, he didn't have no easy cakewalk. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. Life was hard for the brother. He was locked up, and somehow in there's a misbalance that when we start talking about dominion, we think that we're supposed to be rich.
Right. Misconception. You're right, my brother.
I'm pretty sure Paul. I'm pretty sure Paul and Peter and them was walking in dominion, but I don't. I don't think that their goal was to be rich. Hallelujah. I'm gonna get off of that one.
But you know what, my brother, the richness, the true riches are spiritual. They're not physical. They're not materialistic. It's spiritual. That's the real riches right there.
Amen. Amen. Where is your treasures at?
I'll just say
I left my job to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I left my job to go feed the homeless and give them clothes, because my treasures are somewhere else.
I don't know if my sister can hear me. Sister Adele, can you hear me? Because she was one of those that God had called off her job. She's been off her job for many years, and God used her mightily, and she's walking by faith.
Amen.
So when you say come off your job, I think about her, Minister Adele Person, and what she went through and what she's going through now. But God has provided.
Amen.
And she's walking by faith, not by sight. She's walking by faith, and she's truly a testimony. And that's what God wants to do. You know, we always think about God just wanting us to have an easy life, easy, 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 and just enjoy the pleasures. Yes, he wants us to enjoy, but he wants us to be seed. He wants us to be a servant. He wants us to be a blessing. He wants us to serve those that cannot serve themselves. But what
Amen.
Do we serve them? We serve what we have. You know, I think about, I think the lady, she said she didn't have anything in her house. I don't have anything. We just going to die. We're going to eat and die, or cook whatever we got left.
Yeah,
and,
Yeah.
You know, you think about it. We have more than we realize we have. And when we think we don't have anything, and we still have the ability to open our mouth and say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, to say God bless you, we have a lot. We have real riches. The real riches are spiritual. And the kingdom
Amen.
Makes us so rich. Hallelujah.
Amen. I remember when we moved down here almost 11 years ago, we moved down here and we sold our house, and we had $20,000, run into some hardships where we didn't have the job, and everything that I had set up didn't fall. Well, it fell through. We didn't have it. And I remember the Lord, I made a testimony with the Lord, or a covenant with the Lord, and I said that I'd rather have Jesus than money in the bank. And for 3 years, I was unemployed for 3 years, and the Lord provided for us for 3 years. While my wife, she found a job within about 2 years, and she was traveling about 2 hours on an old conversion van that just drank gas. So we were paying just as much money in gas as we were paying in rent. So, you know, she was kind of working to an end. I don't know what end, but she was being committed and understanding that she had a role to play, and so forth and so on. But in that is what I'm saying is that God provided for 3 years on $20,000, and he kept us and showed himself to be Jireh. And I always tell people, I don't know that God is Jehovah Jireh because somebody told me, but because I know.
Amen. Well, my dear brother, it's been a joy to have you here today. And I look forward to us coming together and fellowshipping again. And I look forward to coming down there. Now, is it Statesville, North Carolina?
Statesville, North Carolina. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So I'm looking forward to a time of fellowship, and I look forward to us getting back on the radio again, talk and sharing. And I'll make sure I'll share this, and this will be you'll be able to pull this up on the iCloud later on, probably as soon as it stops. So
Amen.
We can go back and listen. And for those that are listening, that you can receive truth. It's about living truth, but it's about living in love, and it's about loving God and loving people and sharing the kingdom with love.
Amen.
Not being bitter, not being angry. And I know Jesus came in the temple and he was angry and kicked over the tables and beat them. I know he did all of that. But God wants us to operate the way he called us to operate. And it may be a day and time where he will call us to operate, but until he says so, operate in the love of God and in the justice, and also operate by the Spirit of God and have a balanced life. It's important to have a whole, full life balance. Balance.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You got a husband, spend time with your husband. You got a wife, spend time with your wife. You got children, spend time with your children. You got a job, work the job. You know, so balance is important. It's
Amen.
Very important for, you know, and the word. Amen. Well, anyway, my dear brother, would you like to just close this out of prayer?
Yes. Father, we thank you, Lord, just for this time of studying your word. We pray, oh God, for those who will hear this message, whether they were listening live today or whether they will hear it later. We ask you, God, that you will minister to them wisdom and understanding. We pray, oh God, that if we spoke anything in error, oh God, in our immaturity or in our growing, oh God, we pray, oh God, that you will cause us to come into a greater revelation. Even now, oh God. We trust, oh God, the Holy Ghost in us as we spoke on today, that you have instructed us in what to say to the people. You said to go where you told us to go and say what you told us to say. So, Father God, we believe that we've done that on today. And we ask you, God, even now that you will minister to the hearts and minds of those who are listening, that they will receive the truth of your word, the milk of your word, and that they will grow in you. That they will flourish, oh God, in all that it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. That they may grow, oh God, in love, oh God. That they may understand the importance of balance, oh God. That they will understand the importance of presenting the gospel in simplicity and making it plain so that people can grab hold of it, oh God. May we understand, oh God, the reality of the milk of the word of God that grows up and nourishes us so that we can be able to eat the meat of the word, and that it will cause us to be fully nourished in who we are and what the assignment is that you have for us. So, God, we thank you even now, God, that as we close, oh, God, that your word, oh, God, will minister to us, oh, God. Even now, Father God, I dispatch ministering angels, oh, God, that will carry his word to those who, God, may not even be on the radio, God, but that might be praying for such a revelation, oh, God, that might be needing, a word or in a touch from you, oh, God. May you release this word into the spirit realm, oh, God, and may it touch and ignite and connect with the lives of those, oh, God, who needs it even now. And, Father, now we dispatch your warrior angels to come against anything, oh, God, that will destroy, oh, God, the works of the kingdom, oh, God. We dispatch those warrior angels, oh, God, that will fight off of the attack of the enemy, oh God, even now, that will try to make this seed of the kingdom, oh God, be stagnant and stale. But God, we pray, God, that you will speak a word of acceleration over the seeds that were sown on today, and we declare fruitfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Insight and Truth, Block Talk Radio. And if you would like to write to me, or the ministry is Kingdom Insights and Truth Global Ministries, P.O. Box 582, Hampton, Virginia 23669. And the office number is 347-620-1741. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. And if you would like to give, the Word of God says, for those who share and teach, you share your good things with them. We know it's the Holy Spirit, but he's using it.
Amen.
Us. So you can give and you can share. And you can do that on PayPal, dbholder7@yahoo.com. And go on the webpage, Kingdom Insight and Truth Global Ministries.com. And it's all one word. And we'll have some information about our brother Anthony Morris, who is truly a man of God, and I thank God for connecting us and his family, which are truly God sent for this time and season that we're living in. Have a great day. Make the devil mad by living the kingdom on purpose.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Amen. Have a great day,
God
everyone.
Bless you, sir.
Love you all. Bless you too. Bye now.